and good morning. Well, it's good to be back. You know, it's a wonderful feast. It's wonderful. We had beautiful weather. But once you get headed home, it's nice to finally get back. And it's good to see all of you. I hope you all had a very enjoyable feast. I know we did. As I mentioned, we had great weather and had some really good sermons this year. Mr. Ost, on the last day of the feast, Mr. Gerald Ost, gave a sermon titled, "They Are Waiting on Us." And now I'm not going to go into his sermon much except to mention just that he talked about how the world was waiting on us to fulfill our commitment to God so that we could help him, God, serve the people of this world into and through the first and second resurrections. And with this world in the mess that it is, and you can see how true that is, that you just turn on your television for 10 or 15 minutes and watch and you can see just how crazy and upset this world is becoming. It's really sad to see just how bad off our country has become over the last 2 or 3 years. Now, I know that really we've been in decline for several years, for quite a while, but it just seems like it's, in the last 2 or 3 years, it just seems to have accelerated and gotten worse. And we live in a beautiful country. And we've been blessed beyond measure in this country, and that's mainly because of the, or probably totally because of the promises that God made to Abraham and for his descendants, and we've been the recipients of that promise. When the United States first began to take form, it was shaped by men who looked toward God, looked to His Word, shaped around the Ten Commandments and on Christian values. The writers of our Constitution had this in mind when they wrote these documents. Now, of course, you know, in the context of their best understanding of God's Word and His law, but they tried. They kept it in mind, and they tried. And it's sad that a country that was so blessed because of its religion is now doing everything that it possibly can to remove that religion from within its borders. So as God is being pushed out of our country, we will begin to see God's blessings and probably even God's protection starting to go out with Him. It's clear to see that this world needs God's kingdom set up here on this earth. We need His rulership to be established here on this earth. And as Mr. Ost mentioned, the world is waiting on us to do what we need to do to fulfill our commitment so that we can be there to help serve them, help point them towards the true God. I hope it will be easier then than it is now. Probably all of you have tried to convince someone of what you know, set them down and showed them, and try to convince them of the truth. And at times you just want to, you know, how can you not see this? It's so clear. It's right there. But unless God is showing it to them, it's impossible. They're not going to see it. I worked with a guy for about 2-3 days a week for several months. And every time we had the conversation, the Sabbath would come up. I spent a lot of time talking to him about the Sabbath. And as I said, this went on for months. And one day we were leaving work and we were walking through the parking lot and he looked at me and said, "You know what, Coleman? He says, your religion sounds interesting. I may want to go to church with you some Sunday." And that's when I realized that nothing I said sunk. None of it stuck. He didn't get any of it. Now, recently I was challenged again. One of Josh's friends was asking us some questions about what we believe and why we believe it. So I'm going to take a little bit of time today just to go over some of the things that I went over with her. Now, at some point in the conversation, I mentioned Deuteronomy chapter 12. So if we could look at that, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 29 through 32. Deuteronomy 12:29-32. It says, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them. After they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will also do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Verse 32 says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it, and you shall not add to it, nor take away from it. God is telling us that He has given us everything we need. All we need to know and all we need to do is right here. He's given that to us. We have it in His Word. And we don't need to add to it. And we don't need to take from it. We just follow His directions very carefully. Now, this is not the first time that I've referred to these scriptures when answering questions about our beliefs, but usually that's centered around Christmas or Easter. But this particular time, we were talking about the Sabbath. Again, how important the Sabbath is. And I'm not really quite sure what she asked me that made that scripture come up in my mind. But the question she asked me next tied it perfectly to those scriptures. And she asked me that if I believe that since she chose to worship God on Sunday instead of Saturday, did I then consider her not to be a Christian? Now, that was a tough question. That's a hard one to answer without offending anyone. But amazingly, she didn't appear to be offended by it. In fact, if she did, she did it very well. She did not appear to be offended. But the first thing that jumped out at me about her comment was she said that she chose to keep Sunday as her day of worship. Now, if we look at, we all have friends outside the church. We all know people outside the church. And if you look at how they do things or how their religions operate, that's what they do. They pick one day a week to worship. And that is usually Sunday. Now, the problem there is that her statement implies that our worship of God is limited to just one day a week. And we've all heard the term worship service, and this is how she referred to her church service as a worship service, that one day a week that they set aside to worship God. And when we all meet here once a week for Sabbath services, we all know that's just a small part of it. This is not where we come to worship. This is just not the one day a week that we set aside to worship God. Putting God before everything else, learning to love our neighbor as ourselves, allowing ourselves to be led and directed by God's Spirit every day is how we worship God. Now, another problem I have with what she said with her question was that her statement implies that we get to choose the day of the week that we want to worship. And that, that day's been picked out for us. God chose that day for us. God set the Sabbath aside as a day of rest. And we worship God by surrendering our will to Him, by living in His laws and following His commandments and following His information to the best of our ability. And as we all know, that includes coming here on the Sabbath once a week. And then also we apply these other things to our everyday lives. It's something we do every day. Keeping in line with what we read in Deuteronomy and also keeping in mind some of this young lady's questions for me, I want to take a look at a couple of verses. You can write these down. You don't have to turn to them. They're Amos 5:21 and Isaiah 1:14-15. Amos 5:21 says, God says, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. And then Isaiah 1:14-15 says, now are your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now, what's important with these scriptures to understand is what God is not saying. This is where she had it confused. God is not saying he hates his feast days or his sacred assemblies. He's saying, I hate yours, what they were doing. What he's talking about here is what the Israelites had done to his feast days and to his Sabbath. Now, you know, whether they had changed how they kept God's days, you know, how they kept the Sabbath, or maybe they changed the days altogether to different days, or maybe they had just forgotten God's holy days, God's Sabbath, and were celebrating their own. But either way, they were influenced by the world around them. They got caught up at looking at how the other religions around them lived, and they fell into that trap. And just like back in Deuteronomy, when God says he hates something, we better take notice of that. Something we better understand. Keeping the Sabbath and his holy days and living by his Ten Commandments does not wash away our sins. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. And our sins, but our, you know, it's our sins that caused his death. So to show God that we truly love him, we must follow his instructions very carefully. And not to add to it, not to take from it. Our love for God is shown by our obedience to his commandments. And we need to learn to love what he loves and hate what he hates. I think most of us in here fall into one of two categories. We were either born into or raised from an early age in the church, or maybe you were called out of the world and had to give up things like Christmas and Easter and Sunday worship and come to services. But it doesn't really matter which of these categories you fall into because we all face challenges. I've known people over the years who were raised in the church and they were upset because they never got to experience Christmas or Easter, or maybe they just wanted to do something on a Friday night and they weren't allowed to, and they held that in. That they resented the church for that. And then I've known people who have come into the church who wanted to bring what they had learned previously in their other church, they wanted to bring it into church with them because they were comfortable with that. And again, that's, you know, adding to or taking away from what God has shown us. I'm going to read something in Galatians 1. Galatians 1, verses 6 and 8 through 8. It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you and the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. God warned his people early on that this is going to be a problem, that there would be people inside and outside the church who are going to try to change your mind, who is going to try to confuse you, or just convince you of something else. And that's what was going on in our conversation that I had with this young lady. She wasn't so much interested in what or why on our half. She wanted us to understand hers as what it came down to. You know, God has called us, and it's our duty, it's our job to make ourselves ready to hold on tightly to what we've been taught. We need to hold on to the truth, and we need to hold on to the gospel that we first received. We need to continue in prayer. We need to continue in study so that we can learn to live God's way, so that we can learn to love one another, and someday we will be able to teach others to do the same. Brethren, the world is a mess. And as Mr. Ross said, this world is waiting on you. Have a good Sabbath.